Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
It actually keeps people from... at the end of the year where they know they're not in the playoffs, because if you don't, you could end up playing a flute at the Embarcadero.
And Chris Ello.
Just trying to do a radio show here, and Scraby's babbling on about stuff during the break. We have to turn your mic off just to return to the airwaves.
We're here at Petco.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Packers have it first and goal at the 8. Back to pass, Rodgers. He looks left. He looks right. He throws an arching spiral pass in the back part of the end zone. Caught! Leaping two-handed glove catch by the tight end, Graham. Double-teamed. Defenders draped on both shoulders. And Graham catches the 8-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. And the Packers have taken the lead.
Oh, the excitement of the National Football League. It's back. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. We're back, and we're at Petco Park on Friar Fridays, getting set for a jam-packed three-hour program with you today that will feature Padres outfielder Travis Jankowski, but so many other things to talk about. Tony Gwynn Jr. alongside, and that was something, man. That's two straight football games, the Super Bowl, and this year's season opener, where there's only been one touchdown scored. All of a sudden the offense has disappeared from the NFL. What's going on?
Maybe we all overreacted to all the points scored last year. I mean, it certainly seemed. But listen, I think what we saw yesterday is maybe James Jones isn't all that crazy after all. That defense for Green Bay was really good.
Yeah.
They had pressure on Trubisky all game long. It wasn't very few snaps he had where he wasn't shoulder shimmying off of somebody to get a little more space to throw the football. And what you saw was two really good defenses that are clearly ahead of the offenses right now. And considering how many quarterbacks this preseason actually didn't even play in preseason, I expect that we're going to see a lot of that in these first few games.
I think you're absolutely right. I think you might see a lot of that on Sunday. I mean, I know Trubisky was asked about it after the game, whether or not the fact that he didn't play in the preseason or much in the preseason had anything to do with it. He, of course, said no, that was not the issue. But Aaron Rodgers looked completely, totally out of sorts, at least in the first quarter. I don't have ever seen Aaron Rodgers look like that before.
That was trash. Definition of trash, the first two possessions.
And honestly, I mean, the one touchdown drive he was able to lead, Valdes-Scantling made a nice play to go get that ball deep down the middle. And then the touchdown pass that we just heard to Jimmy Graham was kind of just a jump ball. And Jimmy Graham, just bigger and taller, went up and got it. But
that's a luxury.
Yeah, it's a luxury. But I didn't think Rodgers ever looked like himself the entire game. Neither did Trubisky. And I think you're right. You know, we talked about it at the beginning of the baseball season. The Boston Red Sox won the World Series last year, and then they basically rested everybody in spring training. And they came out of the gate tremendously slow. And I think that the Red Sox look back on that and feel like they made a mistake. I wonder how many NFL teams are going to feel the same way if they get off to slow starts like that. Because offense in the NFL, Tony, at least in my estimation, is a lot of it all about timing. I mean, you've got to have your timing down with your receivers and the blocking and the handoffs, and everything's got to be right in order to work. Defense, you just go get the ball.
Yeah.
And so I figure, you know, defense can be ahead of offense if neither side has really played. And that's what it looked like to me last night, which is two offenses that hadn't played.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think most coaches are going to take, I'd rather sit my starter in preseason, not get him hurt, and look bad in the first couple games than get him hurt in the preseason, because that's how they look at it. It's get him hurt in the preseason and then just have no shot all season long. So they weigh the balance of those two things, but I just think that more likely we saw two really good defenses yesterday. I think it's more so that than I think that, don't get me wrong, the quarterback's not playing, the offenses, the ones not being on the field together very much in a real live game situation against other number ones plays a part of that, most certainly. But I think we saw two good defense. I mean, we've been hearing, we knew the Bears defense was going to be good. We've been hearing rumblings, though, right before the season started that this Green Bay defense could be pretty good. And that they looked terrific yesterday, not only in their front seven, but the secondary looked really good last night.
Yeah, not too many open receivers last night. And even you could tell at the end of the game, Aaron Rodgers, he went over and gave kind of a playful shove to his defensive coordinator and said, hey, thanks for saving
right,
me
right.
tonight. Because usually it's Aaron Rodgers who wins for the Packers, but that just wasn't the case last night. Of course, there's some other big news in the NFL today. Antonio Brown is back. I don't know. He's supposed to play now Monday night for the Raiders against the Denver Broncos. Evidently a heartfelt apology to the Raiders organization is all they needed to welcome back AB with open arms. But I caution Tony that the game isn't until Monday night, so Antonio Brown still could wind up getting suspended two or three more times before that. I mean, that's the way this crazy story has been playing out.
He very well could. I mean, listen, if you paid attention to any of the words you heard coming out of the Raiders organization yesterday, at least in my mind, it was clear that they were trying to get to this point. I mean, when Gruden personalizing it during his little presser about how he personally felt about what was going on, you can start to kind of feel it. And the fact that they hadn't made a decision by the time I went to bed last night was a clear indication that they were trying to make things work to where they wouldn't have to suspend him. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, ultimately, and I've heard it said a couple different times a day, it's much harder to find a really good player than it is to find a really good head coach or a GM.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at the end of the day, if they felt like the apology was good enough, that's what they're going to go with ultimately. But there's no doubt that there's still plenty of time before Monday.
There's plenty of time for him to come up with something else. Yeah, but here's Antonio Brown addressing the situation, the latest.
I'm excited to be out here today. I apologize to my teammates, organization. Enough talk, man. I'm excited to be out here with my teammates. Grateful for all the fans. I'm excited to be a part of the Raiders. See you guys soon.
Well, that sounded pretty heartfelt to me, so I'm more than happy if I'm a Raider fan to have him back. Anyway, John Gruden and the Raiders get their guy back, and that'll be Monday night. Of course, NFL will kick off in earnest on Sunday. We have to talk some baseball as well. Padres home to kick off a homestand against the Colorado Rockies tonight. Never mind that team. They've lost 9 in a row. But this team, Tony Gwynn Jr., has dropped 3 straight in Arizona. Big story on the front page of the newspaper today, talking about the future or potential future of manager Andy Green. Well written, I might add, as always, by Kevin Acey of the San Diego Union Tribune. But
you don't need to suck up to him. I know he's sitting right next to him.
He's trying to pretend like he can't hear me down there. But I really did. I thought it was an interesting story, and it didn't. We don't know anything yet, but that's because I really do truly believe the Padres don't know anything yet. And you can read into that what you will.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Padres have been pretty tight-lipped as far as if there's a direction that they're even thinking about. So whether they have had discussions or hadn't had discussions, none of us really know. But listen, when your team is 64-75 and you're a year away from the timeline in which you promised that you guys would start competing, it's in the cards for these type of things to start popping up. So,
sure.
If you're Andy Green, you probably try to keep your head out of the newspapers and off of your phone, as hard as it is nowadays to not get that kind of information. But it's inevitable, right? I mean, when you're not having the success, and how many times have we said it on this show? Generally speaking, the manager that has the rebuild, the beginning of a rebuild, they generally don't get to stick around. And that's not just specifically towards Andy Green.
Nope.
That's for every manager that I could ever think of growing up that's been, unless they had one of those last or first. It's somewhere in there, like a Bobby Cox when he takes over the Braves. They start to rebuild. All of a sudden, they go from last place to first place in one season. That can obviously change things, but that hasn't happened for the Padres.
No. Houston Astros are a perfect example of that. Chicago Cubs are another example of that. They won their World Series.
The list is long.
With the managers they have now, but they began the rebuild with other guys. So we'll see. A.J. Preller was on with Ben and Woods this morning. We're going to hear some of his comments. The Padre general manager coming up in just a few moments. That's all part of our Friar Friday broadcast today from Petco Park. As we mentioned, Travis Jankowski will be on the show. You'll see why he's one of everybody's favorites on the San Diego Padre Ball Club. We have our college football pick'em segment coming up in the 4 o'clock hour today. Our new college resident expert, Skyler, was victorious last week, so she'll take another crack at it this week.
Real quick before you send this commercial, please tell me you guys have seen the Manny Machado commercial.
Oh, the Sports Center one?
Yeah, it is terrific.
Yeah. Now I actually saw it, but I didn't hear it. Because I didn't.
He didn't say anything anyway.
So I know. Was the whole fact, the whole idea that instead of Manny, he was a nanny?
He was a nanny.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, relaxing. It was cool. And he wasn't really in there paying attention to the kids. They were throwing them balls. He was catching them, throwing them back. He was chilling. You know what I'm saying?
It was very funny. It was a Sports Center commercial.
I'm going to put it up on 97.3 The Fan SD's Twitter.
Give everybody a shot to take a look at that. No question. We preview the AFC and NFC South today. We have our first round of Gwen and Chris NFL Pick'em for week one of the season. We got a lot to do, so we better get right to it here, pay some bills, and then get underway. When we come back, A.J. Preller with Ben and Woods this morning, what did the general manager have to say about this Andy Green situation and some other interesting topics? We will find out when we come back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get fired up, Padres fans. It's Friar Friday, presented by Penske Honda Chula Vista on 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, here at Petco Park. Padres getting set for a three-game series against the Colorado Rockies. Padres having lost three straight to the Diamondbacks on the road trip, so trying to get back into some winning ways. Want to get this out to you. Wiggle your toes in the sand for Movie by the Bay at the Catamaran Resort Hotel and Spa in the picturesque Mission Bay every Friday in September. Enjoy free, family-friendly movies beginning at dusk. Get a complete list of movies for the month on our event page at 973thefansd.com. Earlier today, since it is Friar Friday, the morning show, Ben and Woods, had a GM for the Padres, A.J. Preller, on, and they grilled him a little bit. They asked him some tough questions. Not too hard-hitting. You know, obviously, you got A.J. Preller on. You don't want him not to come back on, but certainly asked him questions that certainly people of San Diego had some questions on. And let's start here with, will we see bullpen days again next year?
Yeah, no, I think each year obviously, you know, presents, you know, a little different challenge in terms of your personnel. Obviously this year we're going with the young starters. We put a big priority on, you know, getting the starters through the season, making sure they had time to rest in between starts so that we looked up at the end of this year and they're used to pitching in a big league rotation for 6 months. And I think part of that, was adding the extra starter, early in the season. I think, we were able to get other guys from the minor league system, Pedro Avila, Cal Quantrill filled that role as kind of a way to break those guys into the big leagues. And, you know, it was, you know, obviously through the first 2 months or so, you know, that part was kind of a nice development story for us as the year went on. And, you know, we had some injuries and we had some just from a numbers and depth standpoint, we had to start going more to the pen. You know, I think, obviously it didn't work out as well for us. I think last year we did, you know, some days where we went with the pen and it worked out well for us from a performance standpoint. Ultimately, the idea, the reason for, you know, drafting, developing, letting stars develop at the major leagues is that we look up and we have five-man rotation, that every single day we have stars that can get us into the seventh inning. So I think we're closer in that pursuit because of what we went through this year. So, you know, as we go into next year, hopefully, you know, we're able to lock in five starters and let those guys do their thing.
So it's clear the goal for the Padres next year is to have five starters. Certainly wasn't 100% positive on that. At least that's how I took it. It seemed like, although that is the goal, you never know what you have until the beginning of the
year. I don't think they know. I mean, you're right. I don't think they could honestly sit here right now and say, well, these are the five guys we plan on going with next year. I think the guy pitching tonight, Denelson Lamet, is kind of one of the interesting arms right now. He has struggled with his command since coming back from the Tommy John procedure. He's only pitched into the sixth inning twice in his 10 starts. You want a guy in the rotation that, as A.J. Preller said, can get you consistently into the seventh inning. And Denelson Lamet really hasn't been able to do that. Eric Lauer, Joey Lucchesi have struggled to do that throughout the season. Chris Paddock really hasn't been given the opportunity to do that, I think is a better way to put that. And, you know, is Mackenzie Gore going to be ready to make that big of a jump next year? I think it's all a whole bunch of stuff up in the air.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. You have seen a little bit of improvement from Denelson Lamet his last three starts. Gotten to the sixth his last one. So we'll see how that goes. Excuse me, it's not his last start. It's first of the three starts he got into the sixth.
Right.
Has gone five the last two. And I'm sure there's some restrictions on him, too, being that he's coming back from Tommy John. But you're right. Ultimately, in order for this ball club to have a chance, and I said this off air, this ball club, historically, in this ballpark, we're talking about Petco Park, the teams, the Padre teams that have had sex, have had success, have done two things. They've pitched the ball very well, and they've played good defense. Right
yeah.
now, they don't have enough arms to fill the first requirement. In the second requirement, they sit dead last. So you got to have some improvement in those two areas. The offense is going to be there. When it's all said and done, out of the playoff teams that have been here at Petco Park, this will be the best of the offenses. I'm pretty positive of it. But they need those other two ingredients more, and it's going to be a big reason if they are able to get to a playoffs that they get there is because they do those two things.
And you said it all season long, and you know we didn't believe you in May and June when you were saying that the pitching is not going to hold up. In terms of this bullpen, they just can't possibly do it for an entire season. I mean, I did not believe you, but I was hoping you'd be wrong.
I think we all were hoping. I was hoping I was wrong.
Right.
You know
but
what I'm saying?
But it just turned out to work out almost exactly the way you kind of said it would.
And in some regards, it might have hurt some of these guys in the bullpen because they've had such a high workload. One of the things you and I talked about maybe a couple weeks ago, Chris, was during that nice run there in the first half, we felt like there were a lot less holes than they seem to be now. And one of the questions Ben and Woods asked A.J. Preller was he seeing the same thing? Are there more question marks now than at the beginning of the season?
You know, not really. I mean, I think we're, you know, I think every you know, like every season kind of gives you more information, you know, in terms of where you're at. I think, you know, I definitely understand, like, you know, the early part of the season, you know, really the first half, we go into the break.
Yeah, 500.
At 500 and whatever it was, 2.5 back of the wild card, and then, you know, that next month stretch is where we fell out of it. And I think from our standpoint, it's kind of looking at it and say, okay, looking at the season, looking at that month stretch, looking at our club, you know, what do we need to do to make sure that we learn from those experiences and opportunities from a personnel standpoint. You know, I don't really feel like we look at it and say, like, you know, I think we know we have, you know, in our shortstop of the future, we know we have two corners in Machado and Hosmer. You know, I think there still are some questions with some of the young players that have come to the big league level, but that's really not unexpected. I think,
sure.
You know, to me, like, some guys are going to come up and they're going to solidify themselves as guys. Other guys are going to come in and they're going to show, okay, I could see this, you know, and whether that's a Josh Naylor or some other guys that are in the mix, you know, because I could see how these guys can be parts of a, you know, meaningful parts of a championship club, and other guys are going to come from the struggle.
Well, I think that is very accurate. Here's the thing. It's kind of a catch-22, right? You have to, in order to know what you got to have those guys out there in order to find out.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, in most cases, very few cases do guys come up and just have immediate success. There's a build up to it. Now, so that takes away some of the question marks. You assume that, you know, guys who are really young will eventually get going, but some of the guys out there have been up here a few years, and we're still asking ourselves the same questions, Chris.
One of the most notable absences there when A.J. Preller said, hey, we know we have our corner guys with Machado and Hosmer. We know we have shortstop, was nothing about second base at all. And that's what I wrote about in my blog today, if you're interested, to check it out at 97thefansd.com. Obviously, Ty France is making a competition out of this. Luis Urias right now filling in at shortstop. I don't know if either of those two guys will be the second baseman when it all starts next year. He also didn't mention the catching position. And at the only outfielder he even mentioned was Josh Naylor, which I think is interesting because, you know, a month and a half ago, I'm pretty sure Hunter Renfro would have been in that conversation for sure. There wouldn't have been any argument. But Hunter's gone into this slump right now. He needs to finish this season strong. This is an important September for him as far as I'm concerned.
I don't disagree. We're going to get one more in before we go to break here. And I think the other room, we've talked about the pitching, right? And so the obvious question is, will A.J. Preller and this Padre organization address it, a frontline starter via free agency?
Yeah, we'll have you know, again, you'll have a low 500. We'll have quite a few things on the to-do list. You know, obviously adding to the starting pitching, that'll be something that we continue to discuss and bat around. I think the biggest thing for us is because, you know, in today's game, you know, young talented players is you know, that's the most valued currency in the game, and we have a lot of them. You know, at the big league level or at the minor league level. So I think it opens up a lot of possibilities for us. I think looking at adding that starting pitching or you know, starting pitchers or just like a front of rotation, that'll be part of the discussion for sure. But, you know, there's other things on the club, too, that we've got to look at. We've got to shore up the pen. You know, we've got in the lineup, we've got, you know, got some areas that we can improve there as well. So I think there'll be a combination of things. Again, there'll be a lot of options in front of us because we have some players the teams want. And we'll see how the offseason presents itself here in the next month.
There were a lot of different things that came out of A.J. Preller's mouth in that answer that answered a whole bunch of things. I mean, first, you mentioned he said we got our corners, we got our shortstop, but he didn't say anything else. But in that very answer there, he acknowledges that we're going to have quite a few holes to fill. And I think he answered that in the lineup question, right? He didn't want to say anything about specific positions, but he moved to the lineup, and we got to address that. But he also referred to the young hot lava talent as currency.
Yeah.
And what that virtually means is that you got yourself some assets that you can move to address any one of those holes that he mentioned, that he said that needs to be addressed during the offseason. And I find that to be refreshing because, you know, you and I both complain a lot about how much stock is put in the rookies. But the fact of the matter is, in the game, in the Major League Baseball game, the currency that is the best currency are those very same pieces, and the Padres have a lot of them. So the fact that he's already talking in terms of currency leads me to believe that they will be entertaining trades in
right.
order to fill some of these holes that we're talking about.
I think probably more likely that it would be a trade route rather than just going out and signing a frontline pitcher and dropping another, you know, $100 million on one player somewhere like that. So hopefully that's what they can do, but they definitely need the guy at the top of the rotation.
And no doubt.
They have not found that this year. And so anyway, some good stuff. Good stuff by Ben and Woods and A.J. Preller there this morning on the morning show. And we're going to have Travis Jankowski coming up here shortly on our part of the Fryer Friday.
Indeed we are. We're going to step away, pay some bills, and when we come back, that very same Travis Jankowski joins us on Fryer Friday. Gwen and Chris, 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you want all the latest info on the Padres? We've got you covered. It's Friar Friday, presented by Penske Honda Chula Vista on 97.3 The Fan.
Back at you, Friar Fridays from Petco Park. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., it's Gwynn and Chris. Padres and Rockies coming up a little bit later tonight. We got a jam-packed show for you. A couple of things we want to let you know about before we get to our visit with Travis Jankowski. We are broadcasting live from down here in the East Village next Wednesday, September the 11th, before the Padres-Cubs game. We're going to be at our favorite place again, Ravino, the Foodery, located on the corner of 9th and Market Street. So we hope you'll come by and say hi. Make a note of that for next Wednesday. So much on the show today that we're not even going to have time for Chris versus the Fans, but we will have an opportunity for you to win 4 tickets to SeaWorld. That's going to be shortly after 4 o'clock. We're going to need a contestant to call in and take their best shot against our new college football expert, Skyler, who she did very well in the first week. She was 4 for 5, and she was victorious. So you have to beat Skyler in our college football picks to win some SeaWorld tickets. You'll get that opportunity coming up a little after 4 o'clock today, so stay tuned for that. But right now, Tony Gwynn Jr., myself, spent a little time down in the Padre dugout a little while ago with really one of the good guys on the San Diego Padre Ball Club. It has not been a fun season for him. Injuries have kind of taken him out of what he wanted to do this year, but the attitude is still fantastic, and Travis Jankowski is a lot of fun to hang out with.
Do you want to know what Padres players are really thinking? We get you closer to the Padres than anyone else in town. It's time to go inside the clubhouse. God, I hope they're all wearing at least a towel. It's Friar Friday right here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's Friar Friday, and we are pleased to be joined on the SDCCU Fan Hotline by Padres outfielder Travis Jankowski. One of our favorites on the Gwynn and Chris show here on a nice, cool afternoon at Petco Park. My goodness, Travis. How are you? We all moved to San Diego for the weather, and this is what we get, right?
I know, man. You're not kidding. At least there's not a cloud in the sky, but I guess we could use some right now.
Yeah, we could.
I guess it's probably not that bad coming from Phoenix, where you guys just came from.
Yeah, man. Right? Phoenix, El Paso, dude. It's been pretty hot, so I don't know what you guys are complaining about.
Not complaining. Very happy to be here. I think if anybody had a right to complain maybe a little bit, it would be you this season, because just nothing has gone your way. And how have you dealt with that? I mean, I think it's a good exercise for all of us to learn a little bit about how to handle things when things just don't go the way you expect them to.
No doubt, yeah. Definitely has not been hasn't been my greatest year to remember. But, you know, I'm a pretty positive guy by nature. So just kind of taking it back to spring training with that injury. I remember thinking at the time, wow, like, this is tough. Like, you know, it is what it is, but it's 6 weeks. You know, 6 weeks and I'll be back with the boys. Like, not a big deal. Yeah. And 14 weeks later, I just started my rehab. So, it was definitely one of those years that was trying as far as, you know, the mental toughness and everything that goes along with it. But, you know, I'm a big believer that everything happens for a reason. And if I don't know, you know, that reason today, then maybe in 5 years I'll know that reason.
Travis, what were some of the complications that led to it going from 6 weeks to 14 weeks?
So it was a scaphoid that was the bone that was taking the longest to heal. That one had a screw put in it. And just by nature, I guess that's one of the worst healing bones and slowest healing bones in the body because of the blood flow. And this is all what the doctor said, so don't take my word for it.
You wish you weren't this smart about that.
Exactly. I should know all this. But, yeah, man, it was just one of those bones that it was just tough to get blood supply to. We did everything from injections to a bone stimulator to try and promote some bone healing. But it just takes
took its time. Yeah,
so it was just one of those kind of freak injuries, and I guess my body doesn't heal the quickest and found that out the hard way. So,
how many times since that play, since that moment, have you gone through that play in your head and said, God, if I could have just landed a little differently?
Thousands.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine you can get it out of your head sometimes.
No, and it's funny because even still in the outfield, when I'm playing outfield now, it's one of those things where I can still vividly remember it. And, you know, the worst thing about it was about two plays earlier, I remember through that day Fran Mill was playing left, and there was a ball that he could have came in on.
That's a good save.
And he didn't slide. And we had a pitcher change or something like that, and we all went to center, and Fran Mill said, hey, should I go for that ball? And I said, absolutely not, dude. Like, it's not worth it in spring. Like, this grass is sticky. It's super dry.
Oh, no.
Kid you not, two batters later, it happens to me. So it was maybe me kind of prophesying the future there, but it yeah, it just I can't get it out of my head. And like I said, now I don't know why it happened, but we'll find out if not soon, then later why it happened.
One of the things that injuries tend to do for guys is it obviously it builds up your mental strength, right? Because this is for you now, 2 years in a row where you've had to deal with some type of significant injury.
For sure.
Moving into September, getting through that, what are your goals, you know, finishing up the season this year?
Honestly, for me, it's helped this team win. I know that, you know, it hasn't been a year that we've been, you know, kind of hanging our hats on and wanting to, you know, write home about. But for me personally, man, I want to stay in San Diego for a long time. I love the direction of this team. I love the city. I love the fans. I love everything about the front office. So I need to prove to everyone that I belong here and I can help this team win.
Right.
So for me personally, I don't know, you know, numbers-wise, I don't think there's a number you can put on it. I just need to be an impact player in the outfield on the bases and every time I step in that box to help this team win. So I guess that's my goal. Goal would be to be back in, you know, uniform next year with this team. But, you know, it's one of those things, yeah, I don't think you can put a number or, you know, any sort of average on that.
Travis Jankowski is with us from the Padres on the SDCC fan hotline. It is Friar Friday, and I'll tell you one thing. If the front office ever listens to our show, you're in good shape because we've been dying to get you back in the lineup, and we love watching you play. And it's just been I think it's been frustrating for a lot of the fans. I mean, you got a lot of fans out there that want to see you play, and I think this is a team that you would have fit in perfectly on all season long. I mean, you know, base running and, you know, filling in the outfield and leading off and all of those things, because those are openings that this team kind of had throughout the season.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm hoping that the Padres will remember that that's the stuff you're good at.
I sure hope so, man. I really hope so. But, yeah, it was frustrating for me, too, sitting on the couch watching, you know, and, you know, there was a kind of, you know, leadoff situation and the on-base situation we've had the past couple years, and just kind of sitting there and knowing that, you know, last year I, you know, had a good year and feel good, and I feel like I really could have helped the team a lot this year. But unfortunately, injuries happen, and it's part of the game, and bounce back and show them that I belong.
Travis, you know, obviously you haven't been able to play a large part of this season, but you have got to watch this team from spring training through now. What has been your thoughts on how this team has really progressed, or, you know, kind of gone the opposite direction throughout the course of the year?
Honestly, man, I don't think there's too much of a regression. I think, you know, I think you see it a little bit with the Tatis injury. Him going down kind of hurt a little bit. But first half of the year, we were right at 500, if not above it.
That's right.
And, you know, I know 500's not great by any means for, you know, a World Series contender.
In the confines of compared to where you guys were last year to this year, though, I mean.
Exactly, man. That was a huge to look up, and at the All-Star break, you're flirting with 500, above 500. I think that was a big turnaround for us. You know, and then watching the games and stuff like that, I can't speak for the locker room, but just, you know, coming back and dropping a couple series right after the All-Star break definitely stings, especially with that new trade deadline and everything coming up. But, I mean, from what I've been a part of, the locker room, number one, is awesome, man. We got great leaders, Machado, Haas. You know, the pitchers have Yates and Stamen. There's leaders in that clubhouse that are good guys, good people, good ball players. And I can kind of take these young guys and kind of steer them in the right direction on what to do. And the team chemistry is unbelievable. I haven't been on a team like this since college, and, you know, that college team went to the College World Series. So it was one of those things where the team chemistry really does have an effect on how you play out there, and you know, you're pulling for each other and you got each other's back. So I'm sure you know
it's
that team chemistry, man, that goes a long way.
It goes a really long way.
I'm glad you mentioned college, because I have to ask you about a day in the life of a baseball player at Stony Brook. You probably get asked all the time, but the fact that you got to a College World Series with Stony Brook, I think is one of the great achievements in college baseball history. Mr. Gwynn's alma mater and mine, the same, have never made it to a college no. World Series, and San Diego State's had
I didn't know where
good...
you were going at first. I was
yeah,
like, I don't
we
think
got
we've
some
ever
pretty good
that.
Teams down there and some pretty good players, but Stony Brook's been to the World Series. What do you remember about life at Stony Brook and being part of that team? And that must have just been an amazing special year.
Yeah. Honestly, it's going back to that team chemistry. We had a good team. It was funny because I remember, back like the first week of college, back in August of that year, the 2012 team, we're all sitting around the baseball house hanging out, and we're like, man, it'd be cool to go to the College World Series, but
I think every baseball house has that conversation. Because I know we had it 3 years straight, and it didn't quite work out that way.
Yeah, how cool it'd be to get all the gear and the duffel bag and the new cleats and all that and all the hype. But it was just kind of one of those things. It was like, yeah, it'd be cool, but we'll see. You know, we had a good team, but we'll see. We're Stony Brook. and then, you know, we had a really good year. We had a really good year the year before. Nick Tropiano was our ace. He's with the Angels now. And he kind of led that team, and then he got drafted and left the boys behind. But we we had a good team, a lot of guys fill in, but it was one of those things where, obviously, from the Northeast, not a lot of teams go to the College World Series from the Northeast. So
nope.
I remember had a good year. I think we had 52 wins or something, went down to the Miami Regional, played Miami game one, beat Miami. We were like, well, that's the highlight, boys. Like, we were
right. Our job is done.
Lost the next game and then came back and somehow won that regional, won three in a row. And then we were like, all right, that's the highlight, boys. We're going to LSU. Like, we better strap it on because LSU is a good team in that stadium. Lost the first game there, won the next two, and it was one of those things where it was like,
oh, my gosh, we're in the World Series.
Yeah, like, how did that just happen? You know, I think if you ask the coaches, ask all the guys, it was like, you remember bits and pieces of it, but no one remembers the whole game, dude. Everyone was so locked. It's just taking it. I know it's a cliche, but one pitch at a time, one out at a time, man. And it was one of those things. We got hot at the right time, and we just kept rolling.
This is going to sound crazy, but, I mean, this team is really young. You probably find yourself in more of a leadership role being one of the vets on the team. What has been that process like for you? I know you've been away for a little bit, but when you've been around, I see guys talking to you often. What has that kind of been like for you? Because that's got to be a change for you in your career.
It's different for me, man. I'm not much of a hype, rah-rah guy.
Right.
Obviously, I cheer for the boys, but I'm never going to get in someone unless they truly deserve it. You know,
right.
I'm more of a lead-by-example type. So it's been a bit of a, I guess, culture shock for me to have younger guys come up to me and ask me questions about this, and this, because I've never been that guy, you know.
I
just go out and do it and play, and, you know, that's how I play. Play hard, man. You know, play the game the right way. That's
right,
what you do.
Right.
But now, you know, with these younger guys kind of, hey, man, like, he threw a, you know, 0-2 fastball that just got crushed there. Well, why do you think he threw that? Well, I don't know, man. Like, let's go through the at-bat. So it's kind of walking young guys through the at-bat, walking young guys through, obviously, in the role I'm in now, you know, pinch hitting. You know, how do you prepare for that pinch hit role?
Not an easy job.
Not easy at all, man. You got one at-bat to live or die with.
Right.
So, you know, it's just letting them know, like, all right, dude, so in the fourth inning, you know, you get loose, get the body loose. Fifth inning, T-work. Sixth inning, flips. And you know, that can also depend on how the pitcher's doing
right,
that day.
You know,
it's one of those things where you should have a routine, but that routine can change as far as time-wise goes every single day. So, yeah, being that leader in the clubhouse is definitely a new thing for me. I like it, and, you know, I'm always here for the guys, for the younger guys, and honestly anyone. So if they got a question, they can come up and ask.
I hope everybody out there listening gets a little idea why Travis Jankowski is one of everybody's favorite guys on this roster. Just a terrific guy, terrific teammate.
Rob Ross running, walking
Rob
by
Ross,
saying,
don't
shaking
do that
his
next
head
time.
No.
Because I was trying to be sincere. But, Travis, thanks so much for the time. Let's hope things start going your way again. And we look forward to seeing you back. And I guess next year it will be brown and yellow the whole season. But, stick around this Padre organization because they need you, and hopefully we get to keep you here in San Diego.
No doubt. I'd love it. Thank you guys for having me.
Meet our producer, Thomas.
Hi. Hello. Hi.
Thomas loves baseball. Thomas loves baseball stats.
I love this guy over here.
And Thomas is odd.
I thought he was a bit weird when he arrived.
That means it's time for Odd Baseball Stats with Odd Thomas.
We'll see about that, Pop Spice.
Let's get started, I guess, on 97.3 The Fan.
Yes, from Travis Jankowski to Odd Thomas. You'll notice that every now and again our transitions are a little bit wacky. They're a little bit odd. But Odd Thomas always has some great odd baseball facts for us. We have a few minutes before the top of the hour. How are you today, Odd?
I'm good, guys. Sitting in air conditioning here, so it's really nice.
What a jerk.
Thanks for rubbing it in.
That's cold.
What do you got for us today, Thomas?
All right, guys. So Tommy Pham has been really outspoken about his time with the Tampa Bay Rays, but quietly putting together a really good season this year. And with his stolen base last night in the seventh inning, he joins BJ Upton as the only Rays players to have a 20 home run and 20 stolen base season. BJ did it in 2007, 2011, and 2012.
I think that was a good steal for Tampa Bay last year. Nobody noticed that trade coming, getting him from St. Louis. He's been a big part of that Tampa Bay thing. And right now they're in the postseason, aren't they? Them and Oakland have moved ahead of Cleveland.
He gets the opportunity to play on a consistent basis in that outfield. And as Thomas said, as Odd Thomas said, he's putting together a good year.
All right, so last night, Kyle Schwarber became the first Cubs player ever to hit two grand slams in the same opposing ballpark in the same season since Sammy Sosa did it when he did it back in July 27th and 28th, 1998 at Bank One, which is now Chase Field. It was also Sammy Sosa's first two grand slams after hitting 246 home runs without a slam.
Kyle Schwarber, I never hear a lot of good things about Kyle Schwarber, but I know that I see him a lot on the highlights hitting a lot of home runs.
He is... At least, I haven't looked at his numbers this year, but the past years, he's been, he had that great opening in the playoffs.
Right.
And then hasn't gone nowhere near that since. As a matter of fact, I think he got sent down last year at one point.
He did.
So this year, he hasn't got sent down. I would assume that means he's playing
better.
He's
up to about, 34, 35 home runs now?
Yeah, there's about 100-something people in the league that's going to end up with 20-plus. So I
Fair
don't know
enough.
If that means anything anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't mean as much as it used to. That's for sure.
So something happened last night in the Pirates and Marlins game, which a lot of people probably don't know or probably just weren't watching because both teams are struggling seasons.
This was very cool.
Yes. So this something happened in this game that hasn't happened since 1900. A brother faced off against his sibling in his Major League debut, a pitcher versus batter scenario. So Brian Moran, rookie pitcher, faced off against Colin Moran, who is his brother, who played for the Pirates. So the Brian Moran pitches for the Marlins. Actually struck out for his first career strikeout, his own brother, and got his first win.
Sibling on sibling crime.
Yeah. That's cool. His first career strikeout with his brother.
I would love
he caught him looking
that,
be too.
That Thanksgiving table will never be the same. until the brother gets a knockoff of him at some point.
I've always felt that the greatest brother story, though, and I've told this before, was the fact that Joe Niekro hit his only career home run against his brother Phil Niekro. That's awesome. Is crazy, but that Moran thing was pretty interesting last night. That was fun.
Yeah, and if you guys have a chance, you can look at some of the sound. He was pretty emotional talking about it. Both sets of parents were in the ballpark, too. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, and they were cheering, and they weren't quite sure whether they should cheer or not because they,
right.
they started to cheer, then realized they were just cheering that their own son had struck out.
Yeah, when he struck out the brother looking, you see the family like, oh, come on, what are you doing? Taking that pitch, but at the same time, oh, good pitch, too. So.
Absolutely.
All right, I got one more for you. So the Diamondbacks are in a wild card race, and if you want to know why, it's because of Ketel Marte and Eduardo Escobar. Mm. With Marte's grand slam off Luis Perdomo yesterday, him and Escobar became the first NL switch-hitting teammates to each hit 30 home runs in a season.
First NL?
Switch-hitting teammates.
Ever?
Yep, to hit 30 home runs in a season.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Ketel Marte is on his way to being a really terrific player.
And Escobar, they just stole him. I mean, imagine if the Minnesota Twins still had that guy.
Man, right?
Because, I mean, they just basically gave him away for peanuts. Arizona has really taken advantage with him. All right, thank you, Odd Thomas.
Got you, guys.
Well done. All right, get on the phones here, 833-288-0973. We need a contestant who can pick college football games. You have to beat Skyler. Our college football pick'em segment is coming up next with Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.